Before I try to introduce our general subject, I have a developing sense to try to present something to you. In our Christian journey, from the time we experience God's salvation initially until we either reach the end of our earthly life or hopefully, the end of our course marked out by God, there are certain crucial turning points. And once we have experienced these turning points, we find ourselves in another realm of spiritual reality. And one such turning point is when a person, for the first time, has a genuine consecration to the Lord and presents herself or himself with everyone and everything related to her or him. And from that moment on, the rest of that person's life is the Lord's. This is a turning point. Well, I'm not interested in trying to sketch a series of these, but I want to consider a particular one that's rather mysterious. So I begin with the most obvious of realities. We are all individual persons living in the physical realm in this present age. And we all have a consciousness of ourselves as a person, a realization of our human situation. And we all have an unending series of human affairs that we need to take care of. The problem is that very few people of the 6 billion on the earth ever rise above their own things. Then in the Christian life and even in the church life, the situation may be similar. In a way, parallel to our natural, physical, human life, we become unintentionally limited, confined by our feeling about, our realization of our spiritual situation, what the church is to us. And we may not rise above it. But there is a very great turning point. It's altogether inward, involving your spirit and your heart, in which you as a person and you as a child of God and a believer in Christ realize you are directly connected to God and to His operation to carry out His eternal purpose. You're not remotely related to this any longer. You're not vicariously related to it any longer. That is through others, even through particular servants of the Lord. You have the sense that you matter to God. Your life on earth matters to God. Your life as a believer matters to God. And the meaning of all of that, which will be measured at some future time by the Lord, the meaning is that you can say, my life on earth as a human and my life as a believer and in the church was a direct contribution to the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. I fulfilled my part I carried out what He wanted me to do. As one person, as one believer, as one member of the body of Christ, which is all we are. None of us is more or less than this. There's no one who is the whole body. Only Christ is the whole body.
Amen.
I begin this way because my hope in the Lord is that the Lord might advance in us in the next few days to make a connection between our present human and spiritual situation and what God is actively doing to consummate the age. And that we live our human life and our Christian and church life with an inner realization of where we are in time, where we are in the Lord's recovery, and the sequence of things that will happen very quickly within a few years once the Lord gets what He wants in this age. When the Lord illustrated the rapture of living overcomers, He said two women were grinding, you know, the wheat or the grain. One was taken, the other left. Two men were in the field. To use modern terms, two were welding, two were mechanics, two were doing whatever. One was taken, the other was left. Why is that? Because although both the women, representing all the living ones, and both the men were doing the same thing outwardly, living a responsible human life, there was a great inward difference between them. In one of the sisters, there was a reality, there was a realization of what her life on earth was for. And she was in contact with the indwelling Christ while she's doing all these human things. The same with the brother that was raptured. The Lord didn't say two were praying, two were pray reading, two were singing hymns, two were lined up to prophesy after a training message. He selected human activities pointing to the normalcy of our human living outwardly. But those who can contribute to the fulfillment of God's purpose are those who learn to inwardly connect their personal situation with God's economy, God's intention, God's operation, God's move. And they realize, this is what I'm here for. Amen. The Lord Jesus had a strong sense of why He was born. Surely there are many aspects to this, but one aspect came out when He was face to face with Pilate. And the Lord said, "For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, that I might testify of the truth." Well, we should know. We should be able to testify to friends and colleagues in a normal way of conversation. I know why I exist. I need a job. I need to take care of my health. I need to provide for my family. I need to repair my car. I need to pay my taxes. I need to floss my teeth, do all of these things so I can maintain my human life. But I'm not here merely for my human life. I'm here for God's eternal purpose. So let's begin here. Now we take a huge leap to an immense subject. Okay, the economy of God, and I'll define that as a refresher, or if you're new and some of the thoughts are new, we want you to have the sense that you're included in our fellowship, not excluded by unusual language. And the body of Christ and the consummation of the age. I'd like to take these segments of the subject in reverse order. The last verse we read used this expression, the consummation of the age. This word consummation implies a process that has finally achieved its end. So, I know two FTTA graduates. They've been going through a process of meeting each other, having feelings for each other, falling in love with each other, having a courtship, getting engaged. And on the Lord's Day sometime, these two will experience a consummation. That is the climax, the conclusion of a process. It's not merely the end of the age. Something can just stop. So many lives, they just stop. People stop breathing. There's no consummation to their life. There's only an end. But a life with a consummation is a life that achieves the goal that God intended for it. Well, there will be a consummation, an end point of the present age. And by age, we don't mean how old someone or something is, but a distinct period of time in which God is operating to carry out something specific. And I could never buy into the prophecy buffs that were making guesses who's the Antichrist and when the end will come, and predicting this on such and such a date, that will be the end, and then someone will follow the Mayan calendar. But 2012 ended and the world continued to exist. But we need to be alert to the fact we are very, very near the end of this age. It's not going to go on that much longer. In a very real sense, these messages are a development of a line in one of the messages on Daniel from the winter training. And let me just refer to this now to establish the point of reference. Daniel was praying desperately, and his prayer involved warfare. Eventually, the revelation came of the 70 weeks of years. And 69 of these weeks, these periods of years, would be fulfilled before the beginning of this age, the age of the church. Then there is a gap. And at the end of the gap, the last 7 years will start. We do not know when the clock will start ticking again. But once it begins, it will be irrevocable. It will be unstoppable. There will be a certain world situation. Israel will turn to a European leader, obviously realizing that the U.S. will not back them to rebuild the temple. They will turn to a European leader and make a covenant. And once that covenant is made, the earth has 7 more years. There will be 3.5 more years before the consummation. How long the time is between Daniel's 69th week, which really ended at the time of Christ's crucifixion, and the beginning of the last 7 years, we don't know. The gap is the present age, known as the age of grace. That's why God is so forbearing and long-suffering and patient and merciful to the earth. Because it's not the age of righteousness, it's the age of grace. It is the age of the church. The age in which God's central work is to build up the church. And I wish to emphasize this, because this was not developed much during the winter training. This is the age of mystery, in which the real work of God is carried out in a mysterious way. Christ is the mystery of God. The church is the mystery of Christ. We experience something called the mystery of godliness. Now, we have no choice other than to live in the age in which we were born, and where our circumstances permit us to live. But we do have a choice as to whether or not we will live in the mystery. Whether inwardly, in our life with the Lord, we will be living in this mystery, this unseen reality, that God is working out in the midst of all the events of this present age. It is when, I say again, as those living their human life in a normal way and living their church life and their Christian life, when they inwardly are joined to the mystery, that their lives will contribute to God's eternal purpose. We know by the fact that the Lord will rebuke religious workers on the day of judgment, saying, "You didn't do the will of the Father. You didn't do it." Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens, and they will say, "Lord, we did this, we did this, we did that." He will say, "I don't recognize you. You are workers of lawlessness." In other words, those workers will recognize their whole life was a waste. Consider, as a convenient example from no place other than Southern California, the land of all manner of lunacy, a man came in the 50s with quite a religious ambition and held meetings from the roof of a drive-in theater. And eventually he built a crystal cathedral, literally. What a sight! And during the holiday time, they would have live animals and all kinds of productions. Well, the whole thing went, as the Germans would say, kaput, bankrupt. And now the Crystal Cathedral belongs to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, this could be a mercy to Dr. Schuller if Dr. Schuller would humble himself before the Lord and to say, Lord, what is the significance of all this? Otherwise, I say this in principle, I don't really know. You'll stand before the Lord might ask, what did you do? What did you do with your life? I built a crystal cathedral for the Roman Catholic Church. And the Lord might say, I told you I was building my church. Amen. You did nothing. You accomplished nothing. You have your reward. You got the glory for a moment. I don't want to be in that situation when I meet the Lord. I don't want to have that human deep regret with weeping and gnashing of teeth that I wasted my life. How sweet to have the sense before the Lord Himself. I did my part. You didn't ask me to do more. You didn't ask me to be super. I was an ordinary human being. And I was a believer, and I was a member of the church and of the body, and I served according to what you measured out to me. Even if it was only one talent, the Lord would say, I am happy. I am happy with you. Well, we can be at one of two extremes, somewhat depending on the kind of person we are and what our situation is. We might select, unintentionally, but nevertheless select, that portion of the ministry which seems to help us in our practical situation. So we want to be practical. We're waiting for something practical, which means something that will work for me in my situation. And then there are others, whether they're dreamers or they're just thinkers or whatever they are enamored with the vision, with the revelation. They love to hear about the highest truths, but it never goes anywhere. It doesn't manifest itself in any kind of reality. I don't believe we have to be at either extreme. We can live our human life at every stage, in every situation, directly in touch with the Lord and one with Him and what He's doing in this age of mystery. We're not only occupied, they're already talking about 2016 election. I can't stand it. I was hoping at least we'd get through 2013. They're already telling me 16 Republicans, 9 Democrats. Stop it! But I know they won't stop, so I won't cry out for them to stop. But are we only going to interact with the outward physical things only? Can we not learn simultaneously to live inwardly with the Lord in the mystery. We're experiencing the Christ of mystery, the mysterious church. Well, this is the feeling deep in my heart underlying the messages of this conference. That on the one hand, we would see something with the help of the outlines of the vision of the body, the bride, the army, and the stone leading to the consummation of the age and the coming back of the Lord and the manifestation of the kingdom. Yet we would all have at least some sense that we're involved with this. That our God wants us to participate in this. That we have a part to play in this. That our existence may contribute to this. Okay, the economy of God is God's plan and arrangement according to the good pleasure of His will to dispense Himself into us to produce the church as the body of Christ, consummating in the New Jerusalem. So God wants a corporate expression. That expression is produced by dispensing. So the body of Christ is the specific goal of God's economy and the Lord's recovery at the present hour. The building up of the body is the preparation of the bride. And the bride is the army. And the army is the corporate stone that God will use to remove human government from the earth. The bride, the army, and the stone all depend on the body. As soon as there is, or at least soon after there is, the reality of the body of Christ, with the building up of the body, this age will end. And those who have been living in this reality, if they're alive, will be raptured just at the end of the age, just before the tribulation begins. They will be presented to the Lord as the bride, and the wedding feast will begin. 3.5 years later, the same group of people will return with the Lord as His army to defeat the enemy with His armies. And the same ones with Christ as their element will be the stone that strikes the 10 toes, destroys the human image, and becomes the mountain, the kingdom, filling the whole earth. The point is, once there is the reality of the body, there will be the bride, the army, and the stone in perhaps 3.5 years. Very quick succession. So the goal of the Lord's recovery is to have the preaching of the gospel to produce believers, and the establishing of local churches as the procedure to build up in these churches the body of Christ in its reality. Okay, the fact is this, Only God knows the number of real believers on the earth. There may be tens of millions, scores of millions. It is not narrowness on our part. It is faithfulness on our part to say that the bride of Christ will not be produced under the next pope to be elected in a conclave of cardinals. The Roman Catholic Church is not the bride of Christ. She'll be manifested to be another kind of woman. Likewise, organized Christianity with its divisions cannot be the venue where the bride is produced. Because too many principles are violated. Instead of oneness, there's division. Instead of Christ, there are substitutes. Instead of the functioning of the members, there's a clergy-laity system. So the Lord must have a recovery of genuine local churches established on the ground of the oneness of the body. But the Lord does not expect that the recovery as a whole will be the reality of the body or the bride, the army, and the stone. Rather, the Lord is focusing on producing saints in the churches who will live in this mystery, live in His economy, connect their human and spiritual life with God's purpose. And as those outwardly indistinguishable from others, they will live inwardly in this reality. Then by living in this reality, they will be building up the body. They will be the reality of the body. They will consummate God's economy. They will do the Father's will. If they fall asleep in Jesus, they will be the man-child. If they are alive, they will be the first fruits. This is the most important thing in the eyes of God. There are some advantages to not being young, because you live through certain situations and you still have enough memory to remember what you lived for. And we can remember the day in 1967 when Jerusalem was recovered to Israel. Amen. It was astounding. Amen. But that event shows how suddenly God can move outwardly. If He wanted to, He could allow, maybe it's Iran or who knows what, to have some powerful missiles. One goes off course. And boom, it lands on the Temple Mount and blows up the buildings that are there. Yeah. Who'd have thunk it? And then those Israelis that are in the Temple Institute who have been waiting for this moment, who have prepared everything for the rebuilding of the Temple, they swarm to that place. Israel claims the right to build the temple. All the Arab nations rise up, but there is a shrewd, powerful leader in Europe, and Israel will work with him, and the temple will be rebuilt. Then that leader will be assassinated, shortly after that resuscitated to be the Antichrist, and the tribulation begins. Boom, 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 boom. Outwardly, things can change suddenly. But in the realm of mystery, things happen at the pace of life. Gradually, there's a development. And what the Lord needs It's a group of believers, and it's not an exclusive club. It's just those who will give themselves to the Lord, who will be trained by Him to live in this mystery, to live their human life and Christian life and church life outwardly while they're living inwardly in this realm. This is the best I can do to try to initially open this up. Wow, the consummation of the age, what an event. The body, the universal body of Christ. The bride, the counterpart of Christ. The army trained to go to war. The stone. Let me assure you, this is directly related to your personal life with the Lord, to your growth in life with the Lord, to the Lord saving you in life. How will the Lord have a stone if He doesn't have stones, living stones, solid, transformed persons built together? How will the Lord ever have an army if no one in the Lord's recovery today becomes skilled in war? No one knows how to pray the prayers of spiritual warfare, the binding and loosing prayers of authority. No one knows how to do the work of God at any cost to cause Satan to lose ground on the earth. What if no one is in the process of becoming the bride? No one is preparing the wedding garment through the God-man living. No one is being beautified. No one is maturing in life. No one is being built up. What if no one in all the churches is living in the reality of the body of Christ, a God-man living? Then the Lord can't change the age. This is the process regarding the body bride's army and stone that's going on mysteriously in each one of us. And the day I began to realize this, X number of years ago, I would say my inner being just expanded. I live for this, Lord. I breathe for this. My human existence, my marriage, my family, the care of my health, everything I need for this life, it's for this. I read the Bible for this, study the ministry for this, serve you for this, meet with the saints for this. This is what it's for. You must have the body so you can have the bride, the army, and the stone. When He has this, there will be the consummation of the age. If some believers remain asleep, even in the church life in the Lord's recovery, and mainly take care of their own things, they will turn on their smartphone or their iPad or the TV or whatever, and they'll find out Temple Mount site taken over by Israel. International crisis. Egypt is aligned with a great European leader. Now you know. You've got 3.5 years before the rapture of the first fruits. That's not a lot of time. You've been wasting years and decades before that. So we do need the prophetic word to enlighten us. This was a set point in one of the training messages. We have the sure word of prophecy as a lamp shining in a dark place. And we take heed to it until the day star arises in our hearts. Not until we see the day star objectively, merely. But something is happening in our inner being. The morning star. That's the star. The morning star. Not the day star. The morning star arises inwardly. Now your being is illuminated. And you continue to live your human life in a practical way. But inwardly, you're in the mystery. You are essentially in the Lord's operation, which is going on continuously in this realm. Okay, now we'll read through the first outline, emphasizing certain matters. The body. The highest peak in God's economy is the reality of the body of Christ. Okay, the ministry reached this peak in 1994. 19 years ago, right? 19 years ago. Some of us were here then. What has been happening in these 19 years in our inner being? And the highest peak is the reality of the body. This is what the Lord is waiting for, what He's working toward. A God's aim in His economy is for us, His chosen and redeemed people, to have His life and nature inwardly and His image and likeness outwardly. This is His aim. So His economy is His arrangement to dispense. So day by day, He desires to dispense Himself into you a little more so that you have His life and nature inwardly. And then outwardly, you have His image and likeness. You express Him in a way that matches the life and nature inwardly. B, God is working Himself into us to make us the same as He is in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. The truth is so clear. Only God, look it. I'm the same as God as you are in life. God's our Father, we're His children, we have the same life. But God is omnipresent. He's in Anaheim and in Phoenix. I'm in Anaheim, or I'm in Phoenix, or I'm in Sao Paulo, or I'm in Moscow. But not more than one place at the same time physically. So we regard and respect the unique Godhead to the uttermost. But look, every part of your body has the same life and nature as your body as a whole. Don't you consider every part of your body you? If someone would step on your toe, would you be objective and say, kindly remove your boot from that big toe on the floor? You would say, don't step on me. You know, sometimes when wives are a little ornery and the dear husbands are tempting to cherish them and you might touch them on the arm. My wife never said, don't touch my forearm. These words, don't touch me. Every part of you is you. Every part of the body of Christ is Christ. So you have to be the same as Christ. Not in His Godhead, but in life and nature. See, eventually, we will become a corporate entity, the body of Christ, to be one with Him and to live Him for His corporate expression. This corporate entity, the body of Christ, is mystical. It's mysterious. It's invisible. So as the Lord looks on the whole earth, of course He can see hundreds, maybe thousands of churches. But what He's waiting to see is one corporate entity in all of these churches. One new man, one body. Not just something in Tucson, something in El Paso, something in Sacramento, something in Paris. We can see the assemblies. We can count them. They're in cities. These are congregations. They're local churches. They're indispensable. We love them. But God wants to see a reality in these churches. And not everyone who is in a church is in the reality. This is a crucial distinction. Yes, you can say I'm a member of the body in position. Yes, in position. We're talking about reality. When the Lord sees this, and He concludes, this group of people has fulfilled my purpose. Therefore, I consider their work as representing the work of the whole church. They are the overcomers. Now I may end the age. The Lord will determine this. And when He has determined that, He will arrange the world situation to correspond to that. And then this reality will be raptured. The tribulation will begin. The raptured reality of the body will be presented to the Lord as the bride. 3.5 years later, the bride becomes the army. Then the army is the stone, and the stone is the kingdom. So the time between the very end of this age, before the tribulation begins, and the end of the tribulation will just be a few years, 3.5 years plus. Should we be clueless, aimless, half asleep as we're living in the present age, not aware we're heading toward a consummation? This is the age of mystery. Are we learning to live in the mystery? There may be a conference later this year, maybe in Korea, on living in the age of mystery for the fulfillment of God's eternal economy. We need several messages. What is it like to live inwardly in the age of mystery, which is also the age of faith? So the Lord is perfecting our faith. What does this involve? But at least we can try to initially address the crucial point. I don't want to just be working in the field next to another brother working in the field. I like to work in the field of human life and at the same time be in the reality of the body. At the same time. Not just thinking about the price of gasoline. Oh, the sequester this. Will my grandchildren be able to go to our White House or not? On and on and on and on. All the talking heads. On and on and on. Or will I inwardly be in the reality? I believe there are sisters that are learning. I speak metaphorically. You're just grinding. Ironing. Doing dishes. House cleaning. Reading Curious George to kids, or if they're adults to grandkids, on and on it goes, driving them here and there and everywhere. Another night of pacing the living room with a crying child, another visit to the ER, another this, another that. That's our human life. But will we be those who in the midst of this are in another reality? We're in the mystery. We're in the process. And it's that process that gives meaning to everything in our physical life. Because God will cause everything in our physical life to serve this process if we love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, point D, in a way, is a summary of the whole outline. Then we'll quickly read the rest. Quickly meaning 20 minutes or so, but not more than that. The reality of the body of Christ is the corporate, Christ-magnifying, God-man living. So it's a living. Not of good people, Eagle Scouts, but of God-men, corporately magnifying Christ. This reality will close this age, the age of the church, and will bring Christ back for Him to take, possess, and rule over this earth in the kingdom age. This reality will close this age and bring Christ back. If this one thing would touch us, our coming together would have been worthwhile. We may save 500,000 people. That would be marvelous. The more better. We may establish 10,000 local churches. That would be wonderful. We may have 40 full-time trainings, with a few thousand trainees being produced. But no number of believers or churches or perfected trainees in and of themselves will end this age. It's a reality that will end the age. A reality. And we all are being given the opportunity to enter into this reality. We don't need to know how. Don't ask to know how. The crucial thing is your decision in the Lord that you will take this way for the rest of your life. And you pray to Him, Lord, train me to live in this reality. And it won't be a few, quote, spiritual persons. And those quotes are significant. Those that are, quote, spiritual can be the most difficult ones for the Lord to build up. But ordinary believers who love the Lord and are open to Him, the Lord will have a corporate, Christ-magnifying, God-man living. This is the reality of the body of Christ. So if there is to be this reality as representative churches, there's not a select group in the church with a special status, but in the churches there are saints who actually are learning to live this way. Brothers are learning the difference between being good and being God. Amen. That's the difference between the book of Job and the book of Philippians. They know what it is to be a God-man. They realize they're a God-man. Then they go back to the ministry in the last 3 years of our brother's sojourn with us. And we devour it again. The God-man living. The book, The God-Man. And we pray and we PSRP and we fellowship. Lord, make me your duplication. Train me to live you. I go to my job, whatever I do on Monday, outwardly I'm an ordinary person. But inwardly, I'm a God man. I will magnify Christ as a member of the body. This is the reality that will end this age. Now we have some points to help us to understand the body life. Two, the body of Christ is the intrinsic significance of the church. And by intrinsic, we mean what something is in its essence by nature. I would just as soon have hair on my head than not hair. But if all my hair fell out right now, in addition to besides your reaction and my reaction, eventually there'll be the realization. I'm now hairless, but I'm still the same person. It doesn't change the essence of my being. You may have an opinion, you're much better bald, whatever. We're not going to take a USA Today poll. There are many aspects of the church that are very pleasant, but they're outward. They might even be necessary, but they're outward. And eventually we will realize we can be in the church, the local church, in one of two ways. We can be in the church only in an outward way. And the outward way is not to be demeaned. How could we have a meeting if none of us came together outwardly, if we didn't have vehicles outwardly to get us here, if we didn't have a building physical to meet in, chairs to sit in? Of course we need the outward things. But eventually you'll reach a point, maybe in your middle age, who knows? Or you'll just sense there's got to be more than this. I can't go back to the flaming days of youth. Just as I can't go back to the sixth grade when I was captain of the safety patrol. Maybe the best year of my life. How can I go back? 62 years. Ridiculous. Well, that sense is really a positive sense in the Spirit. The Spirit wants us to long for the intrinsic significance of the church. That's the body. The church of God is the frame, and the body of Christ is the organism. The body of Christ is expressed as local churches. Three, the body of Christ is a divine constitution of the triune God with the believers in Christ. Now we're getting intrinsic. You can't see the triune God. You can't see a constitution. This is in the realm of mystery. But what makes my days meaningful is not anything outward. It's that on any given day, a constituting is taking place. The triune God is working himself into my being. Then we're blended. Okay, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit and man are blended together and built together to become the body of Christ. It's a fact. It's an observable fact. I've been in the Lord's recovery about 46 and a half years. I've observed some who've been here longer. They're still not built in. They're just in the outward church life. If the Constitution began, it stopped decades ago when they were in their 30s. This is a tragedy. They're not living in the mystery. Their way of being in the church is actually in principle the same as an ardent believer practices the denominational life. We come to the Lord's Day meeting, they go to the Sunday meeting. There is something intrinsic, there is something inward, something mysterious that we want to be touching of this constituting, this blending, this building. So that in the midst of our practical church life, we are simultaneously touching this reality. And if we touch it, on the one hand, we'll know it. But the reality, those who are in the reality, they will know whether you are just saying you are or not. If you are, reality authenticates itself. It speaks for itself. We don't have to say anything. It just is. Then the body recognizes what is real, and the Lord recognizes what is real, because He Himself is reality. He's the Spirit of reality. Now He recognizes Himself wrought into us to be the reality. The body of Christ is an organism, both divine and human, to express Christ. So we will all learn that the body in its immune system rejects all self-expression. The function of the body is to express Christ, and we express something other than Christ, the body will accept Christ, but filter out what is not the expression of Christ. There's no partiality. The body does this to everyone. This is the nature of the body. Don't say, they don't love me. They don't like me. They don't accept me. No, the body only likes Christ, loves Christ, accepts Christ, appreciates Christ. Amen. I mean, God agrees with something my wife told me years ago. I'm fond of saying this on her behalf and on God's behalf. She said, I have only one requirement of you as my husband. That's all. Just be Christ. Yeah. Well, when I first heard this, I had a reaction that was not Christ. Then I found that God agrees with my wife. Listen, no man can win against God and his wife on the same side. You might as well surrender. Not to your wife, but to God. This word reality, it's just, it helps us touch what the Lord's recovery is about in its goal. We have to have more believers, more churches, more trainees, whatever. But all this is for the reality. Four, the genuine oneness of the body of Christ is a crucial point of the Lord's recovery in this consummating age. Okay, we have to know what the genuine oneness. Not a cultural oneness, not a political oneness, not a diplomatic oneness, not an organizational oneness, not an imposed oneness. We know of situations where certain strong brothers made themselves the ground of the church. Oneness is defined as agreeing with them. If you don't agree with them, you're a rebel and you are not in the oneness of the church. So this word genuine is not superfluous. It's not just put there because an adjective would be nice. We don't want just any kind of oneness. I suppose the cardinals, eventually, by the time the white smoke goes out, doesn't that mean a new papa is, right, the white smoke? They have a kind of oneness. I don't think they have any kind of oneness now. Imagine the politicking going on in the Vatican. Whoa. So God hates politics. He wants a genuine oneness, which is Himself wrought into us. The body of Christ, being organic, is undivided and indivisible as Christ is. So the body is one in the whole universe, not just on the earth, in the whole universe. Believers whom you might have heard of, like Tertullian from the 3rd century, he's in the body. Augustine, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Nelson Darby. The body is a universal reality, and the oneness is undivided and indivisible. The oneness of the body in reality is the oneness of the one Spirit as the essence, of the one Lord as the element, and of the one God, of one Father as the source. The oneness is the triune God wrought into us. Just two nights ago, the ministry meeting was on the fountain of living waters. It really was not a message merely on drinking. It was on realizing that God Himself is the fountain. He's the unique source. Amen. And as the fountain, He is the oneness. So the fountain, the spring, and the river, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, dispensed into our being, this is the oneness. And this is a mystery. And this is what we want to have increase in us day by day as we're going through, for what the most part is, a boring, routine, predictable, repetitive, dull, unexciting, unadventurous human life. That's how God ordained us to live. There are crises, there are special moments, but come on. I've got to shave again tomorrow. What is the point? My dentist tells me, use your Sonic Care twice a day for your gums. So I got to use the thing with the timer, beep 30 seconds, go to this quadrant. Every day, I've got to pay taxes again. Go to my son's house. Help me to do it online. Shepherd your father through this again. I can't say I've been doing this for decades. I got to do it again. On and on it goes. But in the midst of all of this, how about there being a fountain flooding your being with the triune God and becoming in you the oneness of the body? All the local churches need to be kept in the oneness of the body of Christ. 5, we need to be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit as the reality of the body of Christ with the transformed human virtues, strengthened by and with the divine attributes, so that the Lord will have a way to accomplish His divine purpose according to His divine economy. The point here is that the keeping of the oneness very much depends on the kind of humanity we live. It's our self, our flesh, our opinion, our reaction, our person, our peculiarity, disposition. This is what fractures the oneness. Some may think, I just need more spirituality. I just need more God. Well, you do need more God as gold. But the gold covers the wood. You need to have the acacia wood. That is the uplifted, resurrected humanity of Jesus. We don't have the time now, and I don't think I really have the leading now, to share again some of my favorite brotherly stories related to His having the humanity of Jesus. But sometimes people ask, you worked with Him along with so many others. What was He like? Well, you can say many things, but I'd like to say He was Jesusly human. He was human in Jesus. And it's this Jesusly human element that enables us to keep the oneness. In order to live in the reality of the body of Christ, we need to experience Christ and His humanity as our lowliness and meekness. A proud person cannot live in the reality of the body. His pride will break the oneness. lowliness, meekness. But in some forms of Christianity, there's a culture of manufactured lowliness and meekness. So now you've got a counterfeit meekness, an artificial lowliness. When the Lord Jesus, on that last night, laid aside his garments, put water in a basin, and washed the disciples' feet, that was not a show of lowliness. That was not man-made meekness. When he was on trial and someone struck him on the face, and the Lord said, if I have done wrong, bear witness of the wrong. Otherwise, why do you hit me? What a person. Well, we need this person in his humanity. It's sad to see brothers and sisters, but especially sisters, deviating from the realm of humanity to become strangely spiritual. But I get certain emails and texts like this on a regular basis. I cannot stand to read them. They're just not real. If you were really in the Lord's humanity, you wouldn't speak in this pseudo-spiritual way to me. You would just say something simple. Brother, we're praying for you. You won't assume this position, this transcendent position above, and say this and that. So we do. This is mysterious. The more we're constituted with the triune God, the more we become human in Jesus. We are God-men. In order to live in the reality of the body of Christ, we need to experience Christ and his humanity as our long-suffering with joy. Okay, it's the with joy part that gets you, right? Today probably there was some suffering, even long-suffering with traffic. And oh, the kind of long-suffering that we need in the church with joy. The joy is the criterion. If there's not joy, it's all self-effort. And you're not getting any credit. The teacher's not going to put a gold star on your forehead. You're not going to get a good character grade for effort. The Lord would say, I wish you would stop. Just drink of the fountain. Let me live in you. And I will be long-suffering with joy. And forbearing one another in love. We're not here tolerating each other. Some sisters and brothers, they've been tolerating each other for years. They think now they should get a medal. No, we're not giving you a medal. We're going to tell you it was all a waste. Now yourself is stronger because you've been tolerating this other person for so long. And you expect praise. Thankfully, you're getting exposed before it's too late. The whole thing is self-effort. Why don't you just let Christ live in you? Let him be you. He has been bearing you in love your whole life. And you'll never grow weary. You'll never say, that's enough request for forgiveness. I'm worn out by your request for forgiveness. You've used up your stock of mercy. But I'm only 27. Well, sorry, you've really been a difficult case. He's inexhaustible. He's inexhaustible. He'll never stop loving you. He'll never stop bearing you. Never. He can't. He can't contradict himself. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to say, this is impossible. He knew what he was getting in for when he came into us. He's not surprised. He's not disappointed. But now we need to live him out together toward all kinds of people. Isn't it amazing the variety of human beings God brings into the churches? Now our last section. John 6:57 reveals how the reality that is in Jesus, the God that is in Jesus, the God-man living of Jesus, can become the reality of the body of Christ, the corporate God-man living of the new man as the duplication of the God-man living of Jesus. The Lord said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. This is the reality in Jesus. Then he says, he who eats me shall live because of me. This is the reality that's in Jesus becoming the reality of the body of Christ in us. John 6:57a says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, this is the reality that is in Jesus, the God-man living of Jesus. John 6:57b says, so he who eats me shall also live because of me. This is the reality of the body of Christ, the corporate God-man living of the many members of the body of Christ, who are learning Christ, living because of Christ, as the reality is in Jesus. This is the corporate God-man living. This is the reality of the body of Christ. And this reality will consummate the age and bring the Lord back. May the Lord have mercy on us and grace us, that we would all live the rest of our days in this reality for the consummation of the age. Amen. Amen.